This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Savvy Savings with Amanda is a special segment that appears in every episode of the Rock on the Money podcast. You can find Amanda on Twitter and Instagram at Agile Amanda, as well as our Facebook group. For more information, head on over to rockonthemoney.com. And now, here's Savvy Savings with Amanda. Let's get to Savvy Savings with our princess. Are you the princess or the queen?
I'm pretty sure I'm the queen.
Yes. All right. What we got?
Well, we're going to talk about taxes today. So I don't know what's more dry and boring than having a lawyer talk about taxes, but here we are.
All right.
Okay. So let's start out with a little bit of background and an overview. So many of you know the Tax Cuts and Job Act, also known as TCJA because it's so catchy, upended tax rules to a significant extent in 2018. So the IRS, the tax code used to provide for personal exemptions that could further decrease your taxable income, but this Tax Cut and Jobs Act eliminated those exemptions from the tax code.
So for example,
the rules for deductions, adjustments to income, and tax credits that we're going to talk about here are applicable beginning in the tax year 2018 and going forward. And you're probably thinking, why are you talking about 2018? We're doing taxes for 2019. You'll see. We'll talk about that in a second.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yes, I know. So we will focus on 2019, but okay, there is a twist about 2018 that you might be interested in. The other thing is, once you determine your tax for this year, for 2019, make sure you're comparing that. Like if you get a huge refund, that means you paid too much tax throughout the year and you gave the government an interest-free loan that you could have been investing and making your, you know, 8 to 10% returns on instead. So if you're getting a big tax refund, I know everyone loves that windfall, but it means that you just lost money. Adjust your W-4 so you don't make the same mistake next year.
I love how people go on Facebook and brag about how much the refund was.
Yeah,
it means you're an idiot.
You messed up.
Stop it.
Or last year when people were angry that they weren't getting a big refund because the government on their own adjusted people's withholdings.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm one of the people that got not. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people got a surprise at tax time last year and had bills.
Yeah. That's why I work five jobs. Good.
So the first thing you need to do at tax time is right now, you want to make sure you're organized. So make a checklist and collect all your regular document, all your required documents. I have a file folder that I keep all year long. And as the documents come in starting in January, I put them in there. I actually, on the front cover of the folder, I make a checklist of all the documents I used last year, like a W-2 from this company, a W-2 from this one, a 1099 from this. And, you know, we have a long list, which is good and bad. But I make sure I put that checklist on the front of my folder so I know what I'm still waiting on come the end of January. Because the worst thing you want to do is file your tax return before you have all of your information. Otherwise, you'll need to file an amended return if, like, a W-2 comes in the day after you went down to your local tax office and made that file so you could get your refund faster.
Okay.
And amended returns can't be filed electronically. So you would have... Yeah, no, they cannot. So you have to send amendments in on paper. So what's the basis of our taxes? Do you know what AGI is, Craig?
Hold on. I can do this. Adjusted gross income.
Correct.
Yes, correct. I did it.
So what's included in your income? So let's start with your gross income. What do we need to include in income? So that would be anything that you earn, like anything that comes on a W-2, a 1099, self-employment. That means you're keeping your own records for your self-employment. Like you have a home office. I love the movie The Accountant when he's telling like this cute little old lady who makes beaded necklace that she's self-employed and her kitchen's her office, her like home office space.
What?
But anyway, self-employed, you need to see the movie. It's awesome. self-employment income would be included, K-1 income. So if you have, if you're part owner to a business, you will be issued a K-1 from that business. Okay. It's like a W-2, but it's showing your earnings from the business.
Gotcha.
Pass-through entity. Unearned income, like dividends and interest. So if you get interest from a savings account or you're earning dividends on certain stocks within an investment portfolio, that would be unearned income. Alimony is income. Capital gains. So if you sell off a stock at the end of the year and it has a gain, you would have capital gains to pay tax on. Any retirement distributions, you would pay tax on that. Any rental income, any bonuses you get from your company. And here's a tricky one, gambling what? Income as well is included. And any and all other income. And so I include this one with a little asterisk, like you remember what took down Al Capone, right?
What, in machine guns? Gatling gun.
Maybe, I don't know, but he went to jail because he failed to pay income taxes. So even if your income is illegal, the IRS still expects you to report the income and pay tax on it.
Yeah. I was going to make jokes, but then my employers would listen and think I was serious. So I'm not going to say
maybe,
a word.
Yeah. Maybe it's best not to.
I'm fully legit.
So you're going to pay tax on all of your income unless you can reduce what's called your AGI. So and then you arrive at what's called your MAGI, or your modified adjusted gross income. So in order to reduce what your income looks like on paper, you're going to want to fund things like a traditional IRA or a traditional Roth IRA. That all comes out of generally your paycheck. So you don't necessarily see that all at one time.
Right.
You would fund an FSA to take care of medical and dental expenses. And in 2019, you could have funded up to $2,700 in there. Now it's too late to go back to 2019 there, but it's, you could plan for 2020 up to $2,750. You had the opportunity to fund a dependent care FSA. So this one's interesting. It's to pay for the care of your dependents so that you can work. You could have an HSA. So Craig, you've talked about this a number of times. Yeah. And maybe it's probably worth explaining a little bit about an HSA here. You first of all, in order to be eligible for an HSA, you have to have a qualifying high deductible health plan available.
Yep.
And then the contributions to the HSA are tax deductible and the withdrawals are tax free, so long as you use them for qualified medical expenses.
Right.
So like in 2019, you could have contributed $3,500. In 2020, that's going to rise to $3,550. Your employer may offer an HSA, but you can also start one on your own at a bank or other financial institution.
Yep.
The other things you want to do is avoid premature withdrawals from retirement plans to avoid a 10% tax penalty.
And that's at age 59 and a half?
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, here's something to talk about. Deductions versus credits. So there's a lot of confusion when people are preparing their taxes on what is a deduction and how that helps versus what's a credit. Do you know the difference?
No.
I mean, I put you on the spot. Sorry. So a deduction is going to lower your taxable income. So deductions are applied against your gross income.
See, I knew that one. What do you mean about credits?
And then the credits are a dollar for dollar deduction from your actual tax bill. So after your tax is calculated, you get basically a coupon on that.
Oh.
Yeah.
TurboTax does the whole thing for me automatically. So I assume it did something for that.
It probably does.
It probably does behind the scenes. Yeah.
So here's something interesting. A lot of people ask questions about deductions because they're used to itemizing their deductions because of either mortgage interest or tax, property tax bills. And because of this Fun Tax Cuts and Job Act, a lot of those benefits go away. Now, that's not to say they're not available to you. but it may not be worth it to itemize anymore because the standard deduction increased significantly in 2018 and again, obviously in 2019. So in 2019, it was $24,400 for married filing jointly, which is basically, if I remember correctly, it's almost double what it used to
yeah.
be.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's a lot.
So in order to make it worthwhile to itemize your deductions, you need to exceed the standard deduction, which for most people is going to be challenging.
Right.
Yeah, because you have to have documentation to prove it.
If you're honest.
You have to have documentation to prove it. Right. Otherwise, when you get audited, then they'll take it away.
Right.
But some of the common deductions that you could use to itemize if it's worth your time and worth it for you, if you have a number of these expenses, you might want to do the calculation and see if it exceeds that limit. Again, if you're filing single or you're filing head of household, the standard deduction is different. I'm just going with a peer married filing jointly for simplification. But common deductions might be student loan interest. So if you have a qualifying student loan payment, either for yourself or your child, you might be able to deduct that. Charitable donations, you know, it's sad. I have seen that reports that charities are really hurting now because of the standard deduction, because people aren't getting the benefit of the deduction at the end of the year. Medical expenses are a common deduction, but here your expenses have to exceed 7.5% of your income, and only the amount that is in excess of that would qualify for the deduction.
Another reason why, just to get an HSA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for that. Yeah.
Property tax on any and all property you own. So it doesn't have to be just your primary residence. It would be all property. State and local sales tax. And this here, you can either use the IRS calculation tables for state and local sales tax or actual. In the past, actual has worked out for us because it might have been a year that we, for whatever reason, had to make one or two big purchases, like a new vehicle might have a high tax bill. Again, you shouldn't be making these big purchases if you haven't completed your baby steps, but or income tax, state or local sales tax or income tax, and you can only choose one. So maybe you're in a state that has a really high income tax. You would then be able to deduct what you paid in state income tax last year on this year's taxes. Mm-hmm. Mortgage interest is another common deduction. Here's a fun one. Remember we talked about gambling winnings as income? Well, you can deduct your gambling losses, but only up to the amount of your winnings. So basically to cancel the gambling winnings out.
Well, considering more people lose than win, that's that really doesn't help at all.
It helps at all. It helps a lot because here's an example. We used to play bingo, you know, because I'm practically 90, I guess. So my husband one time won $2,000 playing bingo, and they have to issue you a 1099 for that.
Oh, wow.
So it shows up on your taxes. So the whole year I was keeping track of receipts to cancel out that $2,000. So then you have zero income from gambling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about self-employment expenses. Those can be taken as deductions. Again, talk to your tax advisor about that. It can be a bit tricky, including a home office. But the home office has to be 100% used for business purposes. So you can't just say, like I used the accountant movie earlier as an example, but it's actually a bad example because your kitchen table or your dining room cannot be your home office because that's used for another purpose. Mm-hmm. So they got that wrong, but as is the magic of movies, I guess.
Yeah.
So you have to have a dedicated space entirely for business use. Here's another interesting one, educator expenses up to $250. So if you're a teacher and you need to pay for some costs out of pocket for your classroom supplies, you can deduct up to $250.
My daughter.
Yeah, something, not much. But, yeah. And again, all of these deductions have to add up to more than the standard deduction.
Yeah.
And then the last one I'll mention is residential energy. So you can deduct up to 30% of the installation costs for solar energy, like solar panels on your house or a solar water heater. Now, what's not eligible here is a solar pool heater, which is sad because I just got a solar pool heater in December.
I was going to say, hey, how's Florida doing?
Yeah, can't write that off,
can you?
Nope. They explicitly say not pool heaters. So again, those are your common deductions. And if you have a number of these expenses, it may be worth charting it out to see if it exceeds the standard deduction. Otherwise, just do the standard. So then again, the credits. So all of those deductions go into your calculation to then determine how much tax you owe. Once that tax owed amount is calculated, let's say you'd come up with a tax liability of $25,000, just to keep things simple, then you can see if you're eligible for any credits. So for example, there's an American Opportunity Credit, which is specifically for undergraduates and parents of undergraduates. Whoever is claiming the credit for that individual, you can't both take it. Mm-hmm. For eligible education expenses for a maximum of 4 years. So that is, it is fully intended for undergraduates. It is subject to income limits though. Right. However, it's also refundable. So if you have very low income, and even if you thought you weren't going to file a tax return, the things we mentioned today that are refundable, you might want to file a return just to get that refund.
Okay.
So if we had an American Opportunity Credit, and let's say it was $2,000, just an example, then that would reduce your tax bill from $25,000 to $23,000 because it's a dollar for dollar reduction.
Okay.
Lifetime Learning Credit, that is for education expenses as well. You cannot claim both a Lifetime Learning and the Opportunity Credit. So usually you want to wait until you've exhausted the American Opportunity Credit, and then you can look at the Lifetime Learning Credit. So it's good for students who maybe take an extra year to graduate, like they're in their fifth year of undergrad, or you're a graduate student, or you're pursuing other learning opportunities. This one is also subject to income limits, but it's not refundable.
This sounds very complicated.
It is. That's why I keep saying go to your tax advisor.
Oh, okay.
There's a child tax credit that's still available, and up to $1,400 of that is refundable.
Okay.
The tax credit is per child. So depending on how many children you have, you may get a tax credit there. We talked about child and dependent care HSAs earlier. There's a child and dependent care tax credit. Your child has to be 12 and younger, and you have to be paying for the care so that you or another caregiver can go to work. It's not refundable, but I've used this when our kids were younger to pay for like summer camps because there's no school during the summer and you need someone to watch your kid while you go to school. So summer camps can be a qualifying expense. It's not just for that though. It could also include someone who's like cooking for your child so that you can work, in all cases, you need to provide a tax identification number for that caregiver. And it can't be like your spouse or another child or dependent on your return. So like if your 18-year-old is watching your 11-year-old, you can't claim that you paid them for that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Noted.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. There's also an earned income tax credit. This one you hear a lot about. It's designed for low income earners. It also depends on the number of children on your income. And this one is fully refundable. But again, you must file a tax return in order to get that refund, even if you're not legally obligated to file a return. There's a couple more I'm just going to mention quickly. Adoption credit, that gives you a credit up to a limit, and I don't have the limit here in front of me, but for the costs of adoption during that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, there's a savers credit that you might get a credit for making a retirement plan or IRA contribution subject to income limits.
Mm.
The other way you can help reduce your tax bill, if, for example, you're going through your documents and you think, oh, I might be underfunding my taxes this year, you can try and make a last minute estimated tax payment to avoid penalties. I think that had to be done by January 15th, though, so it might already be too late. We talked earlier about if you get a big refund, adjusting your W-4 for next year. The other thing I would mention about that, Craig, is if you are getting a refund, don't fall for those immediate refund programs with their big fees. So you go into like H&R Block or Ducks and Hewitt and they say, oh, you're going to get this much of a refund. We can put it on our H&R Block prepaid card for you today.
Well, that sounds like a good deal.
Isn't that good? Yeah, it's so convenient.
You mean they're going to charge me for that?
Of course. They take a hefty chunk of your money for that, but for the convenience of you getting it today versus waiting for the IRS to direct deposit it in 2 weeks.
But J.G. Wentworth says, it's my money. I want it now.
Yeah, they also have big fees.
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
So finally, yeah, I gave a teaser on this earlier. If listening to this triggered something and you think, oh, I didn't think about that last year when I filed my tax return for 2018. Well, that sucks. You know, I missed out on some savings and now I paid more tax than I should have. You can go back and file an amended return for 2018 and actually for whatever previous year you want to file it for to make that correction. And you can still get a refund if you're owed a refund. Now, I would not advise amending your return if you might owe a little bit, unless, you know, legally you actually do owe them. So if you learn you had some income that you just missed, then I would certainly amend the return, but I wouldn't go backwards unless you expect to get money back.
I can tell from personal experience, they will let you know if you owe them.
Yeah, money. Yeah. That's,
they have got me several years. It took me several years because I would do teach classes for the federal government in like California. Even California kept sending me a bill. I'm like, what the heck?
Oh, yeah.
They eventually find you.
Well, the problem is if you wait until they find you, then you owe them penalties and interest because they go back to the date you actually owed them. And then they count all those years as late, even though you didn't know you owed them. So it is better if you proactively go and amend it and make the correction yourself before, you know, a decade later, they come racing after you and the amount has doubled. But again, you cannot file an amended return. It's called a 1040X. I guess like it X's out your last return. It can't be electronic. You have to file it on paper. But I once worked for a tax preparing company and I did an amended return for one or two people who had done their own taxes the year before and just missed big, big adjustments. I mean, the money's owed to you. You might as well go back and get it. And that might be something to fund your emergency fund.
It usually happened to me when I had a lot of 1099s and someone didn't send me one and I didn't keep track of it. And then all of a sudden I get a bill. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't have anything about that. And I'm like, you know, but of course the federal government knew about it. So
they find out eventually. Yeah. It just takes a while and then you owe even more.
You really got to keep track of all your income over the year. So if you live in the world like you do, 1099s everywhere, you got to make sure you get one from everybody.
Yeah, like if you're doing these side gigs that we talked about a few episodes ago, if you're doing like Shipt or you're doing Uber or you're doing, you know, all those other things we talked about, you need to be tracking your income from that. So even if they don't give you a 1099, you're still responsible for paying tax on that income.
Even
like Airbnb doesn't issue a 1099 unless you're above a certain income. Mm-hmm. It's still your responsibility to go to the Airbnb website, download the income from the year and use that as your income and track your expenses against that.
And I have numerous websites and Google ads on there. Google issues 1099s for ads, even if you made $5.
Yeah.
That $5 with interest.
So that's what I do, Craig, is I have that file folder that I start at the beginning of the year. And if I know I'm starting a new source of income, I will write it on the front of that folder right then. So that at the end of the year when, you know, you can't remember what happened last February, I know, oh, yeah, that's on my checklist because I wrote it on the cover when I started doing that work.
And sometimes you have to go to them to get it from their website.
Yep.
They're not just going to mail you everything.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, that was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right, man. This episode was jacked full of stuff. All right. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Just a reminder, folks, check out rockonthemoney.com for links to all of the locations where you can subscribe to the podcast, direct links to Spotify, Apple, Google, TuneIn, all of them are listed right there on the front page of the website. Plus, we have all the podcasts hosted right there on the website so you can listen to it. We also break down the podcast to each individual question and make it a separate post so you can easily find what you are looking for. We also have great articles, guides to tell you how to freeze your credit, how to buy a vehicle, everything located on the website. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.